I didn't even realize it, but I'm going to a leadership conference this month. And I looked at the theme of the leadership conference, and it's not called Pastors and Leadership. It's called Pastors and Leadership. You guys ready to shift? Some of your engines about to blow because you had it in first gear for too long. You got to shift. Amen. Turn to, well, before we turn to the Word of God, our theme scripture this month. Let's read. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Amen. Somebody shout, then. Then the veil was torn from top to bottom. And when that happened, the earth shifted because it quaked. Somebody shout, then. Then it already happened. And so there has been a paradigm shift. When the veil was torn, we no longer had to depend on a priest. We could approach the throne ourselves with boldness because things have shifted. Isn't that good? I believe I'll be teaching on that scripture alone this month, but God gave me something else today. Turn to Genesis chapter number 37. There, we're going to begin at verse number 3. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Lord, you have called us, chosen us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You have given us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So, Father, break down every barrier that's trying to cause separation, that we may come into a oneness. That we together, Lord, as you have united us, would have an ear to hear what you have to say. Come, God, with your profound, prolific word. Speak to us, for we desire to hear from you. And I, your servant, Lord, I know that I am nothing. And Father, because you made the choice, use me as you see fit. For I surrender, consecrate me now, that I may be fit to be used by you. Submit my will unto you, God, that you will be glorified and we will be edified. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse number 3. I'm going to read some verses and we'll turn some pages and then I'm going to talk to you just for a few moments. Verse number 3 reads, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors, but when the brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Mm-hmm. Is there any dreamers in the house? I want to pause right there and let you know, you can't share your dreams with everybody.
Amen.
Verse number 9, let's go. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have, Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. I want you to skip over to verse number 28. We there? Then the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Go to chapter 39, verse number 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, captain of the guards, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So he found favor in the sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put him under his authority. Amen. Go to 39 and 20. Just skip over to verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Amen. Go to chapter 41, verse 39. We there? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regards to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Amen. Go down to verse number 50. Chapter 50. Got to turn a few pages now. We're going to sum it up. Verse number 19. Say amen. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Amen. I want to use for a topic as we look at Joseph's life going through all the various changes, and he had to shift. I want to use as a topic, that was then, This is now. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. That was then, but this is now. Everybody in here has a then. And because you're still here, you have a now. Isn't that something? Now it's going to be based on you, what you're going to operate. Are you going to operate on back then, or are you going to operate in the now? And sometimes it is hard to shift from the then, because the then has tried to hold you captive. And the truth be told, you've been holding on to a then, but you cannot operate in now if you are operating in then. You only can operate in one or the other, but sometimes because the then was so astronomical or was such a great ordeal in your life, you find yourself trying to operate in the now, but every now and then you operate in the then. Am I talking to a few of you this morning? It is something that Joseph depicts the life of Christ as we see the first shadow of Christ through the life of Joseph. Now, what gets me is God gives vision to everyone that he saves, and many of you have seen a vision from the Lord, or the Lord has spoken into your spirit, and you saw where you were supposed to be, and then God blessed you to be somewhere, and then here comes something that happens while you're there that it looks like it has changed God's plan. And you wonder what is going on, because that then hit your life so hard that you're wondering, God, how can this be what the dream that you have shown me, because it does not fit the way God showed it to you. Some stuff happens in your life that totally derails you. And you're wondering, how can I recover from what has derailed me, because God did not show me this derailment when he showed me the dream. Therefore, we think the dream has been canceled by what has happened in your life, because sometime as you are heading for greatness, something not so great happens in your life, and it will sort of blindside you. Where you get hit with it so hard, you think that the dream that you have is over. Some of us have even went as far as thinking that the dream has turned into a nightmare. But I'm here to tell you, he who begun a good work is faithful to complete it until his son comes back to claim us again. Then we look at Joseph. Joseph had a dream, and his dream was that those would bow down to him. It wasn't something that he planned. It was something that God has planned for him. God had purpose in Joseph's life, and he is using Joseph to save many lives. God has plans for your life, and he's going to use you to save many lives. Oh, goodness. You have to understand that just because God says he will bless you, that even though things happen that don't look like a blessing, does not cancel the blessing. You are still the blessed of God, even though it looks like a curse. The curse cannot hold the blessed, because the blessed have more power than a curse. And if you understand how blessed you are, you won't look back on the then. You will keep focused on the now. Somebody shout now.
Now.
Joseph, like us, goes through the trials of transition. The one thing about God is I noticed that he shifts stuff. There's a shifting that always has to happen. God does not leave things to be so smooth for us. He uses shifts. And so sometimes things happen in your life that cause you to shift. Because life is going so smooth, you've been coasting. We become comfortable in the coast. But God works his best works through disasters, through calamity. God shows up to show that he is the God over calamity. God shows that he can fix anything that's tore up because he is a restorer of anything. God showed himself. But yet we like things to be smooth. And when we came to Christ, if most of you was like me, we had a tough time out in the world, only to get into the body of Christ. Nobody told me I was gonna have to fight the way I fight. Nobody told me that things was gonna happen that I didn't like. Nobody, I thought for a moment, I thought, I got you now, Jesus, and you got me, Jesus. Everything is gonna be all right. I thought that all the hits that I had taken while I was in the world, I wouldn't take no more hits now that I got Jesus. I thought for a moment, because I had not yet read the scriptures, that God allows stuff to happen. He says he reigns on the just and the unjust. God says, I'm going to do what I want to do with whoever I want to do it with whenever I get ready to do it. God says, I'm going to work out some stuff, and I have to make it look bad so that I can work it out for good, or you won't ever understand what good looks like if you always have good. I got to make something look bad so you'll understand just how good I am. God says, I'll work it out. So then he speaks to Joseph, and Joseph shares. He is so loved by his brother. Have you ever just been feeling like you're so loved, and then all of a sudden somebody turns around and has an issue with you, and you haven't even done nothing? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Those relationships that you thought was gonna be forever.
Come on, ouch.
Huh? And then somebody that you didn't care about. Huh? And then turned around on you, and you wondering, why did this happen? And you think it's you? Yeah. And you say, God, how did all of this happen? God allowed it to happen. Why? Because God allows stuff to get messed up so that he could bless up. Joseph is so loved by daddy. He is so loved. And if you see the love relationship, it is the same love relationship God has for his children. You are so loved by God that, listen, there's people that will hate you just because of how much he loves you. Amen. Go ahead and shout, I'm loved.
I'm loved.
So now you don't have to worry about nobody else loving you because God loves you. And if somebody want to walk away from you, then you let them walk away from you because you still got God who is loving you. And either God will bring them back to you or God will bring somebody else to you. And don't worry about it because God always does better. He does not do bitter. He does better for you. Somebody shout, shift! The problem is that when God begins his work and it does not look like what you want it to look like in the season of what you think you are time to blossom, and your rose's petals are about to come out, and all of a sudden you get hit by a windstorm, you don't want the wind to blow on the rose petal. And so it delays you, and you cannot blossom, and you are yet ready to blossom, and the wind is blowing on you, so you cannot blossom yet, and you become frustrated over the wind that is happening in your life, and the wind is keeping you in the then, but God is bringing you to the now. Oh, so the wind. Somebody say wind. It is not that you will stay in any trouble. It's always predicated on the wind. So when the wind blows on your wind, if you go with the wind, see, I look at it when the wind is blowing the other day, I turn my back to the wind. Because the rain was coming down, and I turned it to hit my back, and I was moving with it. And if you understand moving with the wind, you could keep up a little bit better. But when you go against the wind, somebody shall win. The wind that God allows to happen in your life is not to take you down, but it's to move you forward. But you have been fighting against the wind. But that's the W-I-N-D. But I want to talk to you about the W-H-E-N. Wind. No matter what has hit you, it is only an issue of time where God will raise you up from the thing that's trying to take you down. So understanding that, you will always go through what's called trials and tribulations. And the trial and tribulation is not to hold you in your then, but it's to take you to your now. You cannot get to your now without going through your then. And so God uses trouble. And so Joseph gets troubled by his own brothers who say they hate him. And they hate him because he's loved so much. You know, my oldest brother used to be mad at me because my mom and daddy used to look at me and say, well, that's my baby. I was the youngest in the family for 15 years. And then my mother said, I'm going to have another baby. And I was hot. How you going to take my title from me? But I got wisdom while he was on the way. Either I was going to be angry about him coming and taking the title, or I was going to get wise and say, well, we just going to have to share this title. We both going to be mama's baby. See, that's what we have to understand. We don't have to ever be envious of nobody else. All we have to do is get close to the one who's giving out all the love anyway, and I have to get close to my mama. And I told my mama, I'm still your baby. I'm still your baby. I'm still your baby. Until I just got it so down in my spirit that no matter what title was there, I was still her baby. And she'll tell you today, I'm still her baby. And I want you to know, if you get closer to God, you'll still be his baby. And no matter what happens in your life to try to move you out, you are still his baby. Joseph was hated by his brothers to the point that God gives him a dream and he believes God. Now, how many of you believe God about you? God has promises over your life. God promised to raise you up. And so anytime something is taking you down, God, listen, if it takes you down, it's only for a moment. Now it depends on what you're going to do while you're down. Are you going to get down on it, or are you going to get up with it? There's choices that we have to make. And the enemy is trying to get in your mind and tell you that this is God's plan for you. You got to stay right here. But God has a plan that he's already shown you, and the promises of God will overtake you because God cannot revoke the promises that he has made over your life.
Hallelujah! Thank you.
And Joseph makes a choice. And what I like about Joseph, he shows a picture of Christ because he never complained. You can read all that happened to him. His brothers throw him first. They throw him into a pit. And he did not complain while he was in a pit. And then they sold him so that they could make a profit while he was yet in the pit. And so then he gets sold into the pit sold from the pit and goes and to live in slavery, coming out of a pit. But he has the promise over his life. The pit did not change the promise. Slavery did not change the promise. So while he's yet in slavery, then a lie gets told on him and he goes to prison. But the prison, and I saw Joseph in prison. He was in the pit and he didn't complain. He goes to prison and he wasn't complaining. Why is it that when anything happens that it doesn't go along with our program, we start complaining? Whoa. Don't you know God hates complaining? Yep. Because that is contrary to worship. And God loves worship. So no matter where you are, we ought to worship God. So no matter where God, Joseph was, he had a lifestyle of worship so that wherever he was, favor was found on him. The Bible says that when he went into slavery, his slave master made him ruler over everything. But yet he's in slavery. But he had to shift in the middle of his dream of being ruler over everyone. He had to shift from being ruler to being locked up. And when he shifted, I believe he had a mind frame of shifting, life circumstance shift. So he had to shift in his mind that this situation is only temporary, and what God has already planned for me, no man can stop for me. And if we shift our minds into the promise of God, then we'll move into the promises of God. Joseph had to shift over and over, shifting one moment back and forth, and his brothers, who he thought loved him, he has to shift his mind to have the mind of Christ. Because we read in the end that his brothers came. His brothers bowed down to him because great famine had come upon the land, but God had positioned him to be the ruler over all the land. So what God speaks over your life has to happen, and stuff that happens has to happen to you. And listen, we get frustrated over stuff that looks bad. Somebody say faith. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. That substance, where is your hope when it looks hopeless? And so God will put you in a hopeless situation so that you can see that he is the only one that can change your situation. And once God changes something that nobody else can change, you'll know that he's sovereign. And when you know that God is sovereign, then you become so absolute in him. And that is what God's purpose is in your life. He wants you to see him as the ruler of everything that can change anything at any given time. God can shift something in your life. You could go in one way and come out a whole nother way. You could go in beat up and come out blessed up. God is in charge of everything. Joseph says, you meant it for evil, but God. Somebody say, but God. You meant it for evil, but God. Oh, that reminds me of Paul. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, Joseph wasn't focused on what they did wrong. He was focused on that he belonged to God, and nothing would happen to him unless God wanted it to happen to him. And that's what we have to understand, that if it happened then, God wanted it to happen then. But God didn't want to hold you back then. We have to be like Paul, forget those things which are behind so that we can press on for those things which are before. And God has a right now blessing for you, but you keep focusing back on the then, and sometimes then will keep popping up in your mind, and you begin to judge the thing that kept you, the thing that hurt you. But here's what you have to know today. That thing didn't keep you. It was God who's keeping you. The thing is trying to hold you captive, and God said you are free. And every time you look back on the thing, it holds you back from operating in the now. And God has a right now blessing for his people. Is there anybody here that's ready to go forward into the now? Somebody shout now. But now, the now is powerful. The now is where God gets all of his glory from. It's the now. It's the now. You can't have the now tripping on back then. It happened. It's over. It happened back here. Now you up here. It happened. But now. It happened. But it's not holding you. It happened. You holding it. It happened. When you let go, it changes. There's a shift. God already frees you from it. Now you're going to have to free yourself so you can shift. It happened. Now it's happening. That happened. It's over. Now you're in the happening. Anybody ever ask you what's happening? And look, sometimes, what's happening? Hey, it's all right. I never heard nobody say anything crazy, right? If you were like me, say, what's happening? I'm happening. Because it's not about me anymore. It's about him who dwells in me. And see, it was him who took me from the happen so that I operate in the happening. And now it's happening because Christ is what's going on. Happening speaks to going on. And you have to know that your now will continue to take you forward, but your then is trying to pull you backward. And you got to be ready to let go of then and operate in the now and understand that this is a right now time for God in your life. In your life, he saved you for this now moment, a kairos moment, a right now move of God. And God says, I'm ready to move in your life and show my glory because you've been faithful. Somebody shout faith. That's why he had me teach on faith first, so that you can trust him and believe in him and not get trapped on the then, because you know that there's a now for you. And God says, if you got the faith, then you'll go to faith. And then from faith to faith comes glory to glory. And God will get glory only in a right now moment. Is there anybody here that's ready to give God glory in their life? Because God's the one that's brought them out of everything that has tried to keep you. God has brought you out so that he can get a right now praise from you, that he would be glorified in your life, through your life, for your life. God wants to be numero uno in your life. That's all he wants from you, so that he can show off with a right now move on your behalf. Somebody shout now. And so Paul says, in order to operate in the now, you are going to have to forget those things which are behind. Isn't it something that you can be so focused on God and thankful that he's brought you from the then to the now? And every now and then, your mind starts to focus on then. And then it's over. After Paul writes that, he looks backwards and says, put this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus, he said, yeah, they lied on me, they betrayed me, they did it all. But Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe Jesus was saying, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Because in yet killing this body, I'm going to save many alive. And so now, the believers, death can never own you. Eternity with God has been given to you. You have a now moment that lasts for eternity. Give God a hand